Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
I'm here to help.
On August 21st,
we have a story.
Mutiny arrives on the big screen.
Who are you?
It is, trust me.
Jason Statham stars in the action movie to end your summer.
What do you want?
Vengeance.
Mutiny. Rated R.
Welcome to the bracket, episode 72. Today we are going to do the most masculine things. Got like it, almost like that. I think this is the largest pool.
Did you say 72?
You said 72.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Scooby's cousin.
Bad.
Scooby's cousin, yeah. We're doing most masculine things. I think this is earnestly the biggest pool I've ever had to choose from. It's like 50-something options. A whole ton. This should be a fun one. We got Clemmer on. Initially, you're going to come on and we're going to do the worst fads before you realize that we already did worst trends. There is a difference between trends and fads. Like, there wasn't a ton of crossover, but it's just too close, kind of related.
Trends and the fads sounds like a gay gang thing.
The trends versus the fads?
No. It sounds like a gang. Like, it's the, I don't know, like, what was the West Side Story gangs?
Sharks and Jets.
Yeah.
This episode of The Bracket is brought to you by Game Time. Game Time is the exclusive ticketing partner of Barstool Sports. Created by fans for fans, Game Time is the ticketing app that makes it easier than ever to score last-minute tickets on deals to sports, concerts, and shows. And they guarantee the lowest price. There's a whole bunch of stuff coming up. There's MLB season is in full swing. You can get games to anything. Last year, I used Game Time to get tickets to a Yankee game using our own promo code. You can see anything you want. You'll find lower ticket prices through Game Time. It's possible to snag those seats with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found in the seats that you thought you could never buy. The purchase process takes just 2 taps and 10 seconds. Once you buy your tickets, they're delivered directly to your phone, no printer needed. The app also allows you to easily share tickets with friends via text so you can get into the game seamlessly. We mentioned this, I think, one of the last times we did an ad for Game Time, but we went to the World Darts Tournament or something, and this is pre-Game Time, using a different app, and it just took forever trying to get the sharing the ticket situation sorted out. Not a problem with Game Time. Skip the hassle and enjoy the moment. Download the Game Time app or go to the website, enter your email, and redeem code LCB for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Download the Game Time app or go to the website, enter your email, and redeem code LCB for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. All right, our first matchup of the day is, and this is a very interesting one, 5 seed, having a deep voice. Having a very deep voice.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's not bad. That's a good one. It's not bad at all.
Yeah. Having a really deep voice is extremely masculine. And then the number 12 seed from Nick, grunting when you sit.
Yeah. I've never seen a chick do that. Miley Cyrus has a deep ass voice, but when you sit, you don't hear a peep.
I think grunting when you sit is like the ultimate association with like a dad too. And I feel like everyone growing up, like your definition of masculinity comes from your dad. And when he sits down, just doing a little,
let me tell you something. The amount of noise that I make now when I'm getting out of the car, I don't know where this came from, but I'm talking because our car's low and it's, you open the door. I need to use parts of the door and the frame to pull myself out. I'm making a lot of noise now.
I make so many noises. I'll even throw an all right in there. All right.
Oh.
It's crazy how much I appreciate cushions now. Like when I sit down, it's like,
and you always did. You never gave them love.
I could really use that. You know, like it feels good now.
It's weird because I feel like you're someone that's been
such a bony ass.
I know, but sometimes my body's just like sore and tired for no reason, and I'm just like, bones. It just feels nice to sit down.
Yeah. Wretched.
I'm old. What do you want from me? Sorry, Tommy.
We'll start with KB. Having a deep voice or grunting when you sit down, which is more masculine to you?
Oh, a lot of times I grunt or sigh out of anxiety when I'm with someone because I want to, like, that's been too awkward and too silent. So I'll just be like, oh.
Anxiety is not manly.
No.
Right. I think the deep voice, it is what it is. And I think it works. I think it is usually masculine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Tommy, you'd probably have the deepest voice here.
Are you guys serious?
At least I think so, right?
I think Tommy has the deepest voice.
Francis has a mouth.
I think it's me.
I don't know.
No.
All right, I know.
Jay has a pretty deep voice, actually.
Sometimes, yeah.
I don't think Tommy has the deepest voice.
I might. I like that he said that.
You're lowering it now.
Yeah, no, this is always how I talk.
It's very subtle, but I caught that, too.
I'm trying to think. Do people consider me to have a deep voice?
Yeah, you have a deep voice.
Really?
Yeah.
I like that. I didn't know that.
I would say.
I don't know. Nobody's ever said that to me before.
I had a deep voice when I started here because I was nervous and I was like, I was trying to be quiet and then made it deeper.
I feel like I have the residual from like when I would Holmes do the college radio of like the college radio voice. We do an ambulance reading. We go really high, and then you take it very low. Then you find the happy medium.
That was college
grunting,
for you?
Grunting.
College radio. College radio.
You just swap to grunting?
Yes.
Okay. Che, I think you have like a really nice cadence. I think that's a great way to describe your voice. Like you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Starts off high.
Peaceful.
Yeah. Yeah, very
be
peaceful.
A good ASMR.
Peaceful
artist.
Voice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like a great. Yeah. Imagine an audiobook by Che. I'd read the. I'd listen.
Jerk
to
off to me?
I would say I could come to. I could come to a Stephen Che ASMR video.
All right, Clever.
Yeah, my voice is horrible, obviously, as everyone hearing can realize. But like when I wake up in the morning, my voice is really deep. And I love, like, for those, whatever, 20 minutes, for whatever reason, I have like a great voice. And I long for it the other 23 hours and
you
40
record
minutes
it tomorrow morning and send it to us?
Yeah, right. I'll do that.
Put it in the episode.
Fine. But so I'll go with deep voice. It's something I wish I had a better voice. My voice is horrible.
Tommy.
It's deep voice. I mean, that's like the number one thing in when you're a teenager, when you hit puberty and your voice drops. It's like, oh, you're a man now. It's arguably the biggest telltale sign that you became a man.
Puberty
is very
more masculine, yeah.
What?
Puberty is like the act of becoming more masculine.
Yeah, it's literally becoming a man.
Yeah.
So I'll go deep voice.
Deep voice, Francis?
Yeah, I guess I think deep voice. When you meet a guy with a really nice kind of guttural timbre, it almost makes you like him more. You want that guy to like you in the room. And man, everyone knows that the Hard Knocks would not be what it is without Liev Schreiber narrating it.
Great voice.
Soon as we hear that voice, it's the first day
you're
of
consciously
training,
thinking
camp.
About your own deepness.
Yes,
a little bit
because you're kind of putting it on now. You're
well. I'm not trying to. I promise, I'm not. It is weird, though. It is weird. You want your voice to be deep once you start thinking about it.
Yeah.
The more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm like subconsciously trying to go down an octave.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with voice on this one.
Voice, Nick?
I think we're confusing deep with gravelly. Gravelly is way more masculine than deep. Like Statham, I would rather sound like I smoke cigarettes than the Allstate guy.
It's hoarse and raspy a little bit.
Rasp is
synonyms,
sexy.
I suppose.
I would say that Ben Mintz has a raspy voice, and I don't know that would be. I don't think it's as sexy.
Ben Mintz has a phlegmy voice.
No, women have like Lauren Bacall is a raspy voice.
That's like a bedtime voice.
Yeah,
right, but there's girls with deep voices as well.
Who?
Lauren Bacall.
Who is that?
Who's that? Does she have a Wikipedia page?
Yes, she was very famous.
Who is this?
Humphrey Bogart's Bogey and
Black
Bacall.
And white. Okay. Yeah. Black and white era of film. Who's got the deepest voice at Barstool? Does anyone come to mind?
Probably Smokes or
thank you.
I think it's a production person, I would imagine.
Okay, her picture
Corey
is
Rutledge.
Literally in black and white.
She's old. She just died recently.
Yeah,
an episode of Sopranos
is a good one.
Any content people that you can think of
that we're missing?
Corey Rutledge does have a pretty deep voice.
I feel like Dave has a deep voice.
Dave does too. Yeah,
he's got the perfect voice.
Dave does absolutely. I don't think Dave has the deepest.
He's got a deep perfect voice. Who else?
Yeah, I don't know if we have deep voiced people.
Baby Rudy.
Baby boy Owen.
Owen's got Owen's is pretty deep. That's true. Huh.
Rudy, I think.
Is Rudy's that deep?
I think Cody's is deeper. Cody's is deeper.
You said Rudy.
Corey is deeper.
Doesn't matter. I'm going with making noises while sitting down. Girls can have deep voices. I've never heard a girl grunt.
Going with the grunt, it's 3-2 in favor of the deep voice, Jay.
That was that could be grunting or deep voice.
Yeah, that's true.
Grunting.
Okay, thank you.
We're tied up 3-3. Gooch, you get to break on the very first entry.
Gotta go with the grunt.
No,
grunt.
The grunt. It just, like you said, Kinjack, takes me straight back to my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Just immediate image.
There's a man.
Oh, wow.
There's a man.
Oh, that was cool. That was masculine.
That was awesome. Ignoring a hello.
Yeah, Stephen Che just gave like a very, very obnoxious wave to All Business Pete, who's walking by the hallway, and All Business Pete just iced him.
Yep. That's our relationship.
Yep. Next matchup of the day, we got the 4 seed versus the 13. The 4 seed is, we could say smoking, or we could specify saying smoking cigars.
Cigars.
I think cigars.
Sure. Yeah. I think cigars.
Cigarettes could be feminine.
Yes.
For
sure. Especially if that long thing,
if you do that,
you're smoking in like a elbow length glove.
Is it cool? It's cool smoking like this. It's bad smoking like this, I think, right?
Yeah, that's bad. Wait.
Like this.
What?
Like, and cigarettes wise.
You could go in between fingers, I think.
Tony Soprano does this, right?
That's it, with the cigar. Though,
yeah. Cigar, yeah.
Yes. I think doing that with a cigar, though, is pretty sick, too, if you can pull it off. Fingers are big enough. That's and going up against, as a 13 seed, monster trucks slash muscle cars. Combining them into one, just because the cars, I feel like you don't need to split them up into two separate categories. Che, monster trucks and muscle cars, shout out Jack Joyce, versus smoking cigars.
I don't think monster trucks are that masculine. Muscle cars, I for sure don't think are masculine.
Wow.
So smoking cigars is something that I feel like most guys that don't regularly do it are uncomfortable doing it. It's because it is so masculine, you're just not exposed to it. So I'm going to go with smoking cigars.
What is non-masculine about muscle cars? Like muscle cars, like
yeah, I agree with that. Back to back.
Is a muscle car like a Corvette?
I'm with
Stang. Old Stang. That's not masculine.
I'm going to join in on being in on this.
Huh.
It was masculine in the 80s.
Yeah.
You always had a woman lying on it.
Yeah.
You know what's weirdly masculine? Is if dad driving a minivan with a child seat in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Or two. Yep. And not being bothered by it.
Nope.
To me, that's pretty cool. That's
gay. I'm going
Only if they adopted.
One for smoking. Nick.
There's been 61 women monster truck drivers on the tour. A lot more than you'd think. So I'm going to go with cigars.
One for cigars, or down two for cigars. Francis.
I don't even know what the car is that I think is masculine. I just said minivan, but there's one that's, monster truck is ridiculous. That's a fringe kind of circus freak thing. Muscle cars, I don't know. I saw a guy driving a Rivian, new electric pickup truck. He was parked outside the Whole Foods this morning, and he was sitting there, and he said, "Hey, do you mind if I ask how much room there is in the back seat?" And he was like, "Go ahead." And he lowered the window for me because I think it's one of the coolest cars out right now, and it's
got a lot of nooks and crannies. It has like a snowboard hole.
Is that right?
Yeah,
it's a cool car, and it looks really cool and modern and futuristic.
It struggles to find an audience though because it's a pickup truck that's electric.
Yeah, but so it's super powerful.
But it's electric.
Yeah. And those guys want
yeah.
their big old beast. Well, I thought it was really cool. And I also thought that having that exchange where I asked a guy in a pickup truck, how is it?
After, yeah.
How's your truck? Was a cool, it made me feel good and manly. But with that said, I think that the cars you've named, muscle cars and monster trucks, are ridiculous. So I'm going to go with smoking a cigar and looking at ease. And not making a thing of it.
Yes. That has to be part of it.
Not making a thing of it. Knowing how to light it. Not, just
throwing up after.
Appearing to enjoy it. It's not your first cigar. Somehow that you look at ease with it.
I puked at my last cigar at a wedding. My boy Sean's.
I like cigars to the degree that I have. I won't smoke them because I think I would get into them.
Oh.
I think I'd get addicted to them.
You need like a humidor.
I'm surprised by how much I like them because I know they always make my mouth feel like a chimney for a day or two, which I really don't like.
Stain the clothes badly.
Yeah, yeah, but actively smoking a cigar, especially if I've had some beers.
Cigars are awesome.
I like them a lot.
Too. Humidor is such a cool word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big fan of that.
Like the whole process of cutting it. Yeah. And it's all very cool. The lighter is cooler. Mm.
I've been to a few weddings that they have like a legit planned out cigar break and it's awesome. So, like, everyone's, like, you dance or whatever, do all that shit, like, you work up a sweat, and then you go outside, get a cool breeze, like, you spend an hour smoking cigars with the fellas.
Yeah.
Just an awesome time. I'm absolutely planning that.
I'd rather get high as fuck.
You can smoke a blunt.
Like, if I'm smoking, which I think sucks as an activity, it hurts, it feels dirty and gross, I would need to get very high.
Mm.
So no cigs, no cigars.
Huh. It's not your fucking
No
turn.
Nicotine.
Yeah, I don't smoke any cigarettes. I hate cigarettes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so that's another one. It's 3-0 right now. Tommy.
Yeah, cigars easily. I really like cigars. Senior year of college, the Ford and Pussy Patrol. Saturday nights, we'd go out to Arthur Avenue, nice Italian dinner.
Yeah.
And maybe we go get a pastry, a little cappuccino, and then we hit the cigar bar.
Play a bright yellow Mustang.
Play a little chess. Play a little chess.
Yeah, I'm not voting
cigar. So wait, was there any pussy?
Well, that was the pre to the patrolling of the pussy. That was
you just patrolled the pussy.
Oh, they were.
We rarely, if ever, fucked.
You just patrolled.
Yeah. I like the idea. It was okay.
You guys just patrolled to make sure the pussy was safe.
Yeah, just
never interacted. But
he would sometimes pair him off. All right, she'll go to him. She'll go to him. Like patrol the pussy.
You would patrol the
patrol, protect,
impest. Yeah.
Never fuck. But yeah, we started with cigars, and still, whenever we get together, I like a good cigar. I agree. I don't want to overdo it.
How is this an argument for cigars?
Oh, Foreign Pussy Patrol, maybe as manly as it gets.
Okay. Oh, obviously.
Manly a group of men as you could have. A
guy named Seraphim smoking cigars.
Yeah.
He was in the patrol.
Sometimes
right?
We go to Seraphim's house in the summer. Yeah, we'll smoke some cigars in his pool. So, cigars.
Cigars.
So women don't. I've literally no girl has ever smoked a cigar.
It is. I think it's pretty hot when you see a woman smoke. Like
what?
Well, okay.
I genuinely don't think I've ever seen
cigar.
Situational.
You think it's hot?
You've never seen like.
Well, is it a very hot woman doing it?
Well, yeah, it's a hot woman doing it, but yeah. I think it makes the hot woman more hot. If that makes sense.
I don't know if I've ever seen that.
I don't think it's ever been done.
I've never seen it. Clinton gave women cigars. Did he not?
He did. Yeah.
Is that like a euphemism or
no?
Oh, he really did
put them in the
put them in their pussy,
yeah,
lower hole.
Monica Lewinsky was the
and then he would like smoke them afterwards.
I think the idea was that he used it to play with her, and then he put it in his mouth after something like
that. That's undeniably sexy.
Yeah,
wait, that's real.
Yeah,
yes. Yeah, that was the whole thing.
That might be the new most manly thing.
That was sort of the salacious tidbit that
and I guess the blue dress as well.
Yeah.
Cum stained dress.
Cummed on it, yeah.
Having a hot secretary, that would also be a very masculine thing in the 50s, 60s, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
You need that.
And pussy cigar sounds.
Yeah, getting awesome. Having someone blowing you under your desk and someone comes in and you have to act normal. Yes, no, just put it on my calendar.
Mm-hmm. And pressing a button so that she can't leave.
Yes.
Heavens.
It's Matt Lauer.
Yeah. Matt Lauer. Yeah, it's a reference.
Sounds like Fordham Pussy Patrol.
No. We only patrolled.
Only patrol. Clever.
Yes, like the cigar bar, I think, is like one of the most manliest places you can go to. Like, and I love smoking cigars. I think they're great. I don't know if that's a detraction for it being manly, but because I don't really like monster trucks, even though I did nominate monster trucks. But I think cigars are more manly than that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with cigars.
Cigars, KB.
Yeah, this is gonna be hard to beat. I think.
So smoking cigars.
The cigar in general is just so gender wise, ratio wise. Yeah,
we're smoking.
Are they fucking awful for you too? Like they're horrible.
No, I don't think so.
I think they're like as bad as 10. No,
I think they're like
no.
No, they're bad. If you smoke a lot, if you smoke regularly,
if you smoke them regularly, yes, they're very bad. You get cancer of the mouth, of the gums, but. I was told distinctly my pediatrician telling me a few a year is no problem.
Your pediatrician?
Yeah, he was always better than my adult doctor, and so I trust the lessons he left me with when I begrudgingly had to move on.
That's fair. Next matchup is the 8 versus the 9. The 8 is eating rare. You also put, so this is your entry, you eating rare meat, but also medium rare meat. I think medium rare is like... in the medium range, but medium rare. Should I just say rare?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want rare meat. Oh, no, Sass, no bother.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think rare meat, or medium rare, I'd consider manly as well. If you're
how do you get steaks, Tommy?
Medium rare. I mean, it's very rare you see someone go to a steakhouse and order rare. Steak rare. Like, they pretty much, they're, the way they prepare it for you is medium rare. But if you go medium or above, you're a vagine.
That's going up against number 9 seed, having good facial hair. Good facial hair. We're talking like no patches, which I unfortunately have.
Patches?
I got right here, man. See it?
You're touching
the
hair.
Best facial hair.
What's that?
It was the best facial hair.
In the office?
Or in this room.
John, the camera guy, John. Great facial hair. Have you ever seen him grow a beard? It's incredible.
Kelly. Yeah, very good beard.
Incredible beard. I think he'd be up there. So having good facial hair versus eating medium rare meat, rare steaks, things of that nature.
No, I don't like either of these. I think neither are masculine.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
You want to abstain? You have the option.
I hardly see girls order steaks. I hardly see girls. Okay. I don't think...
going to a place being like, I'll take a ribeye medium rare.
The preparation of a steak is associated with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Wrongo.
I think a burnt ass steak is more masculine. I think a well done steak.
Really?
As opposed to what?
It just sounds gross.
Raw pink?
No, not raw, but like...
But the facial hair isn't masculine. Having a well-groomed, perfect beard.
No, not well-groomed. I'm just saying you have like complete facial hair. You know what I mean? It could be shaved or whatever, but you could just tell the person...
Dan Bilzerian. We're all thinking it Dan
Bilzerian. No, but he puts too much care into it, and that's not masculine.
Yeah, his is too sculpted. Yeah.
I like a nice woodsman tangle.
Yeah.
Frothing brush.
Ron Swanson, but that's just a mustache. But
yeah, but like his level of facial hair, that's good facial hair.
Even like the Bounty guy, doesn't he have like a...
I think maybe Robert Redford.
Doesn't he have like a beard or something?
Ronnie?
Like Bounty guy?
Who?
Ronnie.
Oh, the Bounty man.
Yeah, the paper towel guy.
I thought you meant Dog.
No.
Bro.
Oh, not Dog the Bounty Hunter, the Bounty paper towel man.
Dog the Bounty Hunter had a goatee though, I think. Right?
I don't know. The if Bounty man is like a embodiment Ronnie. Of manliness. Isn't it supposed to be the Bounty
super
man?
Super masculine.
It's Brawny.
It's Brawny. Yeah, Bounty is...
Brawny, yes, I'm sorry. Yeah. You got yes.
Brawny James?
Brawny, like the...
yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Like the word, yeah.
Brawny James.
So, you're going to go with KB between having good facial hair and...
beard.
And with the beard?
Yeah, I'm going to say good facial hair. Having control, like having a great controlled facial hair, that'd be amazing if I could just grow a beard really easily. I'm all patchy here. And my goatee gets crazy thick.
Yeah.
So that's weird. I wish I had a great beard.
You know, I just realized definitely has the best facial hair is White Sox Dave because it goes up to his eyeball.
That's not the best.
It goes up to his fucking eyeball. The most complete facial hair.
He's the most complete. White Sox Dave is the most masculine dude I know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Take a look at all of his habits, routines,
yes.
Things he likes, the things he does.
He gets angry easy.
Very
not
much
out,
a guy.
So mad. Not out refusing to bend to progress.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Refers to girls as cunt.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. Oh, I forgot about that. It's like a mantra.
Oh, like refers to getting, like, we going out to chase some cunt.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
he doesn't use
it to Fordham, it would have been the cunt patrol.
He is the most masculine.
Cunt crusade.
Yeah.
Colgate cunt crusade.
What's the most feminine thing he does?
Peloton.
Question.
He's kind of obsessing about his hair lately, isn't he? Isn't he getting like...
I think he's getting plugs.
Is he getting plugs?
I think, right? Wasn't that what he was talking about on... I saw a clip.
Yeah, I saw a certain clip.
Yeah. I think it's probably the Peloton. That's probably the closest thing.
Peloton's, that's more.
Yeah. Tommy.
Yeah, being able to grow facial hair doesn't matter if you're 26 years old and you still can't grow even a mustache. That doesn't make you less of a...
And your little soul patch you get is just crooked.
Yeah, it's like, right, it's hypothetically, like off to the side. If you only grow like stray hairs on your high cheek region, that doesn't make you less of a man. But if you eat a medium rare ribeye, that's manly as fuck.
Yeah, it is manly.
Rare to medium rare.
You'd be a force with a beard, Tommy. Ugh.
You'd be unstoppable.
Wow, it's my last Infinity Stone. I think I'm never going to be able to grow one.
You don't have the chin for it.
Fuck you. The whole point is it doesn't
to hide
your chin.
Yeah, what are you
saying? You have to have a very long beard.
What are you saying?
What are you saying? It covers
you. Do you think he has a good beard chin?
I think a good beard chin is a bad chin.
Yeah.
All right.
So you're saying my chin is so handsome that it shouldn't be covered by a beard?
Yes, exactly what I'm saying.
Can I say something? I'm not going to lie. I can grow a beard and I don't because I like the shape of my face.
Mm. Yeah,
that's fair.
I would like to see you with a beard though.
Yeah,
it might be awesome.
It's not as cool. You'd be surprised, but I always remain very clean shape. Having a beard makes my face more round.
Yeah,
which I don't like.
I am interested now. Now that you mention it, like. I would love to see what you look like with a beard.
I can show you some pictures. I grew one the last time I worked here.
Yeah.
Tommy, can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
So, you've talked about your inability to grow a beard and facial hair. Does your scrotum match your face?
Do you not have pubes?
I grow ball hair, if that's what you're asking.
In abundance?
I have to shave it pretty frequently.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Look at me real quick.
I'm not 13.
Does your scrotum match your face? In a lot of ways.
Francis.
I'll go with the steak. I think one time I was at a dinner and a guy goes, I'll take the filet black and blue.
Oh.
I'd never heard that before.
Yeah.
Blue it means in. Don't even touch it. Sear it like it's ahi tuna. And they didn't know. And they were like, very well, sir. And it was a nice restaurant. And they brought it back killed. And he tried to cut into it and he summoned the waiter and he goes, I mean, this is killed. He said
it was
like
killed.
That. Oh, killed.
Awesome.
They're like, yeah, we thought when you said black and blue, that's what you meant. Because, you know, it's kind of a cryptic way.
What does the blue mean?
It means completely rare on the inside.
Oh.
You know, uncooked. And that's,
deeper,
I guess,
deeper than
way,
red. It probably is like a purple
blue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that. So now we're 2-2, Nick.
I can't do rare steak. I just don't like it.
Too chewy?
Too chewy. Mm. I can't do it. I get medium.
Carter.
Yeah, I get medium, and I would get well done if I could, if there was the ridicule. There's like so much like steak Twitter, like the routine,
that's,
and like,
oh,
I'm doing it on like these coals, this grill. It's all, the more care you put into it, the less masculine it is.
Yeah.
Different thermometers, tenderize, fuck that. I want to go with beard.
I'll tell you something. I thought I disliked steak my entire life, and it turns out my mom just sucks at making steak.
Yeah.
Like, I thought until I was like a full grown, like in my 20s, I tried steak at a restaurant, and because I would never order because I always hated it. And I ordered it, and I was like, this is the best thing I've ever eaten in my life. And it turns out my mom just would overcook the shit out of
it. Same. My parents cook it well, and I never liked it until I got older.
Yeah. It's just,
I think it is something too. Just the older you get, the more you like it, regardless of. Because like, my parents cook it the same way they've always cooked, and I like it now. When
my kids, it's their favorite food, and 4 and 2. Mm.
Mm. The boys went out for steaks last week. EKB, Nick. And
I didn't eat steak, though.
What'd you have?
I'm too fast-paced. I'm too gluttonous for steak. I hate when I want to eat everything at once and swallow it immediately onto the next.
Okay, and what'd you get in instead?
Not chicken.
Yeah, I got the famous Fort Charles cheeseburger.
It was the best burger I've ever had.
And we got the jus sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Tommy, you would have fucking loved it, man.
Oh, thanks for the invite.
The jus. We had the jus. It was very good jus.
And I liked how much room there was at our booth.
There was a lot of... We had a good booth.
Yeah, a lot of room.
Best booth.
A lot of room.
And we had some sides, some oysters.
I was busy. I was at a cigar club.
Yeah, you wouldn't have been able to taste the jus.
Blowing me. Blowing it into her pussy.
Nick.
Beard.
Beard. All right, we're 3-2 in favor of the beard. Jay.
The meat.
Gonna go now. We're gonna have another tiebreaker.
Yeah.
It's the beard.
Actually, because Gooch is always clean shaven, but like, he looks like he would grow a good beard.
He has a good shaped.
I thought he had
same,
one.
Same situation as Francis.
Mm.
Great jawline.
Oh, if you gain 20, 15 pounds, then get a beard.
I'll grow a beard. Yeah. And if I start losing my hair and I.
That's an obvious, yeah.
Need to cut all of it off, then I will grow
balance
a beard.
With a beard, yeah. Bald and beard looks cool.
It is a cool look. Yeah. You got to do it.
Yeah.
Strength conditioning coach. It's a good look.
Yeah.
I just did on FaceApp. I put a beard on Francis. I sent it in the group chat.
Oh, shit.
See if I can find a picture of myself when I had a beard.
I think it looks pretty good.
Francis, you look cool, dude.
Damn.
Look
like Jeremiah Johnson.
Pubic. Yeah. That's a very pubic beard.
Oh, I don't think so.
Hey, you look cool, man.
Show climber.
That's really cool.
Dude, Tommy.
You could still tell you have a good jaw under there, too.
You'd look better if you were fatter, almost.
I don't know. I think it's better clean shaven, Francis.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You have a great jaw.
Yeah.
All right. Now we have the one seed versus our chain. We could do the chain first. We got two today because, again, trillion options to work off of. The first of the chain options is spitting / dipping in general. Well, I think just combining the two needs to be on there. Next, we have the IROC Z.
Yes. It's a car from the 80s.
It's a car from the 80s. I looked it up. It does look pretty cool.
Yeah. Very masculine.
What is it?
IROC-Z.
IROC.
I mean, the name itself is masculine as fuck.
Yes,
IROC. And then Z, which is the most masculine word.
Letter.
You think
letter,
Z's
sorry, letter, letter.
Oh, more masculine not? Than X?
More I don't think either is.
Z is very masculine.
X is like... X is the male chromosome. Wait, X
is the male
chromosome.
J is a pretty masculine letter.
J is feminine. G.
Curve.
G?
G is...
B, I think B is pretty masculine.
No. B, that's a woman's name. B is a woman's name.
Mm.
Sure.
G is the most masculine.
Why?
I don't know about that.
I think G is pretty masculine. But it's literally girl.
No, you
literally
can't. It's the first letter of girl.
You can't pick a letter that has any curve.
And I did, and I stand by it.
No, you can't pick a letter that has any curve.
G is masculine.
L
is short for gangster.
L is a
G is a nickname for Giovanni.
Is a fucking lightning
G. Giovanni? G just adds...
I'm sticking with Jay. John, James, Jason, Jack.
Jay.
Say it.
Jay. I'm not even thinking of like what starts.
It's a soft ending.
Yeah. He looks masculine.
X. Name Jay.
T is good.
A is a man's name.
X is a kiss, though. Kiss, kiss.
Oh, X is
kiss. Fuck. S. Kiss. X is kiss. Z.
T.
What about Tony Z?
What about D? I think D is pretty masculine.
You think D is masculine?
D. Yeah, big D.
D is a girl's name.
Yeah, D is also a girl's name.
Fuck.
G Williams.
What about A?
No.
A. It's the Fonz.
Vowels are feminine.
I think any letter that has a curve.
What about Y?
A little bisexual.
Sometimes Y.
We'll have to do more research into that.
This is going to have to be a bracket episode. Most masculine letters. Because we just got heated.
Yeah. Next up, World War II.
Good.
I think that's a good submission. Yeah. The next one is, and we've talked about this before in passing, but denying sex. Mm. You have the opportunity.
What just happened to the one before this?
World War II?
No, the car. The
IROC-Z.
IROC-Z.
Yeah.
IROC-Z. Very cool.
Never even heard
of it. Car.
It's a cool car. Wait, are these playing games?
Yeah.
This is all playing. I'm sorry.
So denying sex, which we've talked about before, like you have the opportunity to have sex with someone and you're like, I don't want sex for
greatest thing you could do.
Yeah. After that, this is from Tommy. Liking sports a lot and criticizing players, but not being very good at them yourself.
Yeah.
Classic man.
I can relate to that.
And then another one from Tommy. Not knowing pop culture and pretending that you've never even heard of the Kardashians.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. So that's our first play-in match.
The most masculine dudes right now still hate Justin Bieber. That's their joke.
Dude, if we text...
Look in that haircut.
Get that Justin Bieber looking
Bieber haircut. Text White Sox Dave right now and ask him
who the biggest pussy is, and it'll just be like, it's got to be Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
I ask him how many Kardashians he can name, and I guarantee you he pretends that he can't do all.
He might be too competitive,
and
he would try to name them all. He breaks the system.
We'll start with you, Che, for the first Che in game. Spitting/dip, the IROC-Z, cool car, World War II, denying sex, liking sports a lot, and criticizing players that are, even though you're not good at them yourself, not knowing pop culture, and pretending that you've never even heard of the Kardashians. Which one of those do you want in?
A lot of good ones. I don't know if I've ever seen a woman dip. But I know they didn't allow women in World War II, right?
Rosie the Riveter.
They weren't in the front line.
She was here.
Soviets had.
Did she not partake in the war?
She was the. You know,
wasn't Florence Nightingale?
Nightingale was
support our man in the field.
Soviets.
Sure, we had some Mulan situations.
Did they really?
Yeah, okay. The Soviets.
Well,
had a ton
I stand corrected. All right, so then I'm gonna go dip.
So you're gonna go World War II?
Dip over World War II.
Dip over World War II. Okay, one for
women,
Nick.
Can you run through them really quickly one more time? I'm sorry.
Spitting/dip, the IROC-Z, World War II, denying sex, criticizing sports players, or not knowing pop culture.
That
was not masculine.
Being so into sports, like Clemmer is so into baseball, he turned it into math. That sucks, dude.
It's true.
Being so into sports where it turns into something that's not sports anymore, it's tough. I just want to watch dudes clobber each other. And that means I'm not very much into sports. Give me the IROC-Z, dude. I just looked it up. Every dude is wearing like a Def Leppard cutoff in that thing, like acid wash jeans. Manly dude. You could see his giant fucking cock behind his pants. And the name of it, IROC-Z. That's so fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. That's it. And that's my new dream car.
refurbished IROC-Z. Francis.
I would say that I find chew in chaw more manly than dip. Dip to me is pouches and then I guess a big fat lip. I just find it so disgusting. But it is pretty manly. But even then, I'm going World War II.
World War II.
There's this thing about getting older. You just start watching documentaries and reading books and...
Yeah,
it finds us. World War II,
and there you had a case for dip being masculine until you're around a guy that dips and he's like spitting into a pop can instead of a bottle, and they have to like purse their lips and just that's not masculine.
That noise is
like pursing your lips and.
I hate
for anyone that hasn't seen it, the video of Francis doing dip for the first time.
Did you get sick?
is one of the funniest videos.
Really, really tough.
What were you spitting into?
Well, I didn't know I was dipping real dip. I had about 14 pouches in my
mouth. Oh, I'd be dead.
Pardon my take, guys. That turned the tables on me.
I threw up from a Zin 3 milligram last week. Citrus.
I'm off the Zin. It's so bad.
Tommy.
I'm going to go the pop culture one. I think I'm thinking of like Bill Belichick at his press conference being like, what is that on Snapface or whatever? Like Snapchat versus Facebook like that. And it is girly to like pop culture. So I think that just being like, I'm not doing any of this shit. Like I'm just watching sports and I'm going to not know who any of the hottest celebrities are, or like new songs coming on. My dad says, I've never, who is this person? Like, you know, like just not knowing new art, music. I'll go with that one.
Was it Will Compton? He didn't know who Timothy Chalamet was?
Yes.
That's manly as
That's
shit.
Insane.
That is pretty masculine. Not knowing Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
I think
that might be the most masculine thing.
There's
no
way my dad knows who Timothy Chalamet is.
You don't think so?
You're a chance.
Call your dad right now.
I'll ask him I'll text him.
Kyle, your dad definitely does.
Yeah, he does.
I think the purposeful mispronunciation of a person or character. Like my dad would always be that Professor Dusseldorf from your Harry Potter.
Dads refuse to say the name. They'll be like, what's his name? And they'll say every part of it until you say it.
Yeah, my dad did the fucking Lord of the Rings stuff all the time because I love Lord of the Rings. He'd be like, yeah, you're Lego Man and his bow and arrow. It's fucking Legolas, dude. Like, you know what it is. I know you know what it is. We watched this movie enough together. Clemmer.
It's tough. World War II is great because I feel like, I don't know if World War II itself is the answer, but like how like France did it kind of like
finds everything
us.
Around it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I got to tell you, I was alive in the 80s. I never once saw a woman drive an iRoxy. iRoxy was the epitome of manhood in 19.
It's called an iRoxy.
I got to go with the iRoxy.
The iRoxy. It's got two votes. KB,
like putting like soil in your mouth that's guaranteed to make you sick for like the first 10 tries.
You could lose your fucking jaw.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
It's like the one thing
yourself to look cool.
You can't be hot and jawless.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So you got to go dip. All right.
Rock Z is great. I think I'm going with World War II is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Except those were like high school kids.
What do you mean?
Weren't they like young boys getting drafted? Like they were.
I'm thinking more like having an obsession with
World War. It's more that.
Liking World War. I thought it was being drafted and fighting.
Not necessarily. No, that was kind of.
I mean, that was pretty manly too. There were young men who would fail their physicals, not be allowed to go fight, and kill themselves because they were so distraught over not being able to fight.
Like grandfather lied and said he was 18.
Yeah.
I think my great-grandfather, my parents always tell a story how he's got his legs run over right before his evaluation for a draft.
He got his legs run over?
And I was like, that was on purpose. That was definitely on purpose.
Yeah, dude.
And my mom was like, oh, yeah, that now it makes sense.
Oh, just my legs got run over.
So fucking weird. Okay, so Gooch, you have to pick between the two that have two votes, the iRoxy or spitting/dipping.
What happened to World War II? Only one vote?
Only one vote. You could vote for that, and then I'll tie break.
Yeah, I'm saying this with a dip in my mouth right now. I want World War II.
Thank you.
What are you dipping?
Just a Zen.
No,
Zen
that's
6
not what I'm. Not that's not what we're talking.
Hey, listen, I got.
That's not what we're talking.
I got
about.
The hard stuff back in August.
All right, so between these three, for me, I'll go with the iRoxy. Is so fucking cool.
I see a picture of this.
I gotta look.
It is so masculine.
The only thing is, a guy who's a little big might not fit.
People were thinner back then.
It is an unbelievable, like, it is a very cool car, and I think the name, really, more than anything, like Nick was saying, is what makes it.
Not only that, but they would put the name on the door of the car. Like, it wasn't just, like, you know, a small little brand, like, it was branded iRoxy right on the fucking door.
Right, yeah.
Getting out of a door that says iRock, like, I don't know. You guys take a quick
makes. Oh, it's made by Chevy?
There's no subtlety in the iRoxy.
No subtlety in the iRoxy?
If anyone wants to change their vote, I'll allow you after seeing the actual car.
That didn't blow me away.
What?
The iRoxy is cool, but I think among these options, I'm going to go with World War II because I think that's another thing. Dad obsessions included with it. Like, it is something that's just that laser focus on that one era is, I think there is a masculinity behind it. So World War II is going to go up against, it's going to buzzsaw up against our number one, fixing and building things. fixing and building things.
So I had a suggestion. I don't know if it made it. I said it was on my text to you. Lending tools. Mm. Is that in this?
I think that would count under the building and fixing.
Lending somebody a tool.
Lend someone a tool to fix or build something.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, we can say that.
You can count. KB, you go first. World War II versus fixing or building things.
I know what you're saying with the fixing or building things, but it's so synonymous with like decor women, DIY people.
No, I'm thinking like building a building and like fixing a car.
Like a guy sitting on a steel beam.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not thinking like putting together a birdhouse, you know?
Okay. I'm still going World War II.
Still going World War II. One vote for the 16 seed, clever.
Yeah, I think World War II to me is so like any group of guys, like I can be like even Rudy and I were just talking about like, oh, documentaries World War II just came up. Like it just comes up among guys. It's almost like a shorthand. World War II is so in my brain, it's such a guy thing. We're fixing things. I understand what you're saying, like on a construction site, like but I feel like you see women. I would never, this is my own maybe blindness, I would never go to a woman and start talking about World War II. But I would with a guy. So I'm going to go World War II.
That's a
good
point.
You are the problem.
I've also never had a woman come up to me and talk about World War II. But I have had a woman come up to, you know, and have conversations about construction or whatever. But I've never had a woman talk about
That's kind of World interesting to imagine, too. Someone coming up to you and just talking about the construction.
Yeah, if you're talking to me about construction, you're really running out of options, too. So,
how do you feel about the new DeWalt power drill?
Yeah, you're asking me. It's bad. Yeah.
Tommy.
This is like a championship level matchup, I feel.
Really good.
Two good ones. I don't really have the World War II itch. Like, my grandpa fought in it for years, but I was hoping I'll get that itch eventually. Yeah, maybe I'll get the itch one day. But to me, building things, it's the epitome of being a man. It's where's the handyman around the house? The man of the house needs to fix this. Just building things incorrectly and refusing to fix them and being stubborn about it. That's manliness 101.
Mm-hmm. Francis?
World War II is so cool and so iconic that it supplanted World War I as the world war you think of when someone says World War.
The rare sequel was better than
the sequel original. Is better than the original. And I truly think of the cast of characters from Churchill, Roosevelt, Hitler, on and on. There's so much
Stalin,
Patton,
glory, Celine. Masculinity. Yeah, oh my
Celine
god!
He got hung upside down Celine. By his feet. He's not cool.
Just the heroism. I mean, it just is brimming with manliness, and that is why we all are drawn to it. And I don't know. I think they'll be publishing biographies of it for the rest of time. And it just to me exists as something unto itself and is the height of what we as men consider the golden age of manliness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They still go back to that all the time. Like people will be like, well, boys now look like Timothée Chalamet. And back then they were storming the beaches of Normandy.
The greatest generation, you know, all of it. Just, I don't know. I get chills sometimes thinking about it. I just started reading the Truman biography, which, you know, he fought in World War I, but I'm really enjoying that. David McCullough. So,
greatest story.
World War II.
I think there's two things that will be remembered from the 20th century, 500 years from now.
Oh, can't wait for the second thing. I really want to know what the second.
World War II and the Beatles. Well, music
wasn't as crazy as I
was thinking.
Thought,
the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think like Mozart and Beethoven are everlasting, but like some of the other things, it's hard to kind of get an understanding of. You know, way, way, way in the future.
I thought it was going to be something way crazy. I thought you were going to say like the 1986 Mets or
cars.
I don't know. Really, you think 500 years from now we'll be driving cars?
Internet?
I don't think so. The internet definitely not.
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
That might be more 21st.
No one's going to give a shit about the internet in 500
people,
years.
Like, nobody's going to give a shit about Beethoven in 500 years.
Yeah, they will. They used to care about him now.
Right.
Mozart, and I think the Beatles would become that. Because they sing about love. They sing about things that are everlasting.
I think that people are going to care about more things because we're doing a better job of tracking history. I think that maybe there's more stuff from the 1500s that would have cared about, but like you just can't access.
No, they kept a lot of. They had printing press in 1700s. Yeah, we don't give a fuck.
We don't have videos.
We don't give a fuck. Oh, yeah, but we're not going to have. We don't have the thing now they have in 500 years, whatever it is, beyond video, whatever that's going to be.
No, there's nothing else.
You don't think Beethoven's getting less and less popular as time passes?
Sure. Because that 500 years is starting to creep up on them. But I think in 500 years, people will still have awareness of the Beatles.
I disagree.
You say the internet won't be popular in 500 years?
No, absolutely not. We'll have moved on to something far different and grander. The internet will be like this weird...
Like, is your argument that Beethoven has remained?
We know who he is.
Yeah, but other classical composers have become more in vogue, at least from playing standpoint.
Right, but we still have music is my point. Like, a lot of stuff doesn't...
Yeah, but someone is going to come along and supplant the Beatles.
People have come along and supplanted... But for some reason, music does seem to have an everlasting, longer-lasting thing than other things do.
I think that has also a time cap on it, like probably from like the... probably like 500 years. Like I couldn't tell you any music before 1500
right.
or something. Like,
yeah, I'm not listening to any throat singing.
Yeah. Oh, actually, throat singing's sick.
No, it's not.
Mongolian throat singing?
It sucks.
Oh, I disagree. I think it sounds cool.
When was the last time you listened to it and tapped your foot?
I gotta say, never. But I'll vibe.
Oh, this is sick, dude. You should next time we're at a bar with touch tunes. You got. Hell yeah! This is one of my favorite jams.
Mongolians
catchy.
Are pretty masculine.
Yeah.
The Mongol Empire. That's from 500 years ago.
What about the moon landing? I don't think we'll remember
that. Oh.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a damn good one.
Attila the Hun or who's the...
We remember Explorers.
Genghis Khan is pretty masculine.
The internet's going to be just dead and gone. The internet? In 500 years, it'll always... We will be the... It'll just be the internet.
No, it'll be called something else. It'll be something totally
different.
It'll
something
be
like else.
Virtual reality around for 25 years.
Internet
no
is
the
internet's going to get bigger and bigger.
Internet is
there's
a
next, internet. Yeah, there's not a next evolution to the internet.
Plummer, did you submit the internet for worst fads earlier?
No.
Plummer, internet's almost up there with like music and art to me now, where it's like
own separate
one of those. Yeah.
I agree with Plummer.
I need to see a little bit more.
The internet's not going anywhere. There is nothing next. There's no next step to the internet.
Television wasn't going anywhere. Oh, we're going to have these three networks forever.
What is the internet going to do?
I don't know. It's 500 years
ago. He thinks the tech is going to get better towards the internet as well.
But what is next after the internet?
I am not a scientist.
That's what they said when the horse and buggy came out.
Thank you.
It's
a small way of thinking.
The internet will never go.
Oh, that's crazy. It's crazy.
No. I'm way more with KB. Like there, and I know this
crazy. You guys think everything's happening now?
Everything's going to be increasingly internet until the downfall of humanity.
I think people were able to think of the internet 300 years ago, where it was like, oh, we'd be able to contact with people far away. Yeah, they didn't know the X's and O's, but that's a concept you could think of. Yeah. I'll be able to connect with somebody who's.
I bet
far away.
80 years ago, you guys would all say a telephone would be around forever. The actual like telephone in your home.
The internet isn't just like a singular invention.
Now it's evolved. The telephone has evolved.
Are still around.
But, no, who has them in their house? Like
I'm just saying, the internet will still exist. It'll just be further evolved.
We'll probably be able to transport in 500 years.
Yes,
you teleport.
No, just trying to think of what the internet would look like in 500 years.
I finally be able to move.
Humanity.
I can finally transport.
There may be some kind of thing that is just simultaneous, a chip in your brain. Oh, I wonder what the answer to that is. And rather than going to Google, it'll populate the thought for you. Mm-hmm. But it's no longer the internet.
Right.
That'll be one century's great debate, whether to put the chip in or not. There's going to be a huge portion of people that say, no, do it yourself. And that's the way we did it. We've always done it. There's no problem that way. And there's going to be a large group that's going to be very modern and progressive that's going to say put the chip in. That's the way of the future.
I'm afraid there's going to be something where the body doesn't require sleep anymore, because I love sleeping, but then you'd be so behind if you don't get it.
So
Nick,
very scary.
You'd be ahead though. You'd have all those more hours,
right? You'd be so behind if you didn't get it.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Mm-hmm. Nick, World War II or fixing and building?
It's World War II.
World War II is 16, so you're gonna move on. Che, what would you pick?
I suck at fixing stuff. I feel like I could go in World War II. I just get shot immediately, but I can't fix anything.
So killed by friendly fire?
Probably. My dad responded, said, sounds familiar, not sure.
About Chalamet.
Chalamet, yeah. Sounds familiar, but not true.
I text my dad, and he just responded back, Timmy, with 4 exclamation points.
By the way, White Sox Dave said they're going to ask it in the middle of, like, they're doing the mid-show right now. He's just going to ask the panel, too, and see what everyone's answers.
Okay.
No Jenners allowed.
What did you ask them exactly?
I just asked him, who do you think the biggest pussy alive is?
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's not Bieber, I think his answer is going to be funny, whatever it is. Before we get to the other half of the bracket, let's hear from Fitbod.
Hey, it's Fran from Chicks in the Office. It's peak summer. One plan is turning into 5, but trust, I'll be wearing Abercrombie to all of them. Catch me in their Sloan tailored pant at work and then the happy hour right after, the Dylan dress for dinner plans when you want something easy but still put together, and of course, their denim, because Abercrombie denim just works, no matter the plan. Keep up with the pace of summer without overthinking it. Shop in the app, online, and in stores.
All right, let's talk about Fitbod. How are your New Year's resolutions holding up? Do you have any summer fitness goals? What are they? We all want to get in shape, right, for the summer? I know, I sure do. If you're looking to take your workout to the next level, check out Fitbod. The Fitbod app creates a workout program that's personalized to your goals, fitness level, and available equipment, learns from your previous workouts, and adapts so that you can improve. It's the perfect companion to help you crush your fitness goals over the summer. Start making progress towards your fitness goals today with 25% off a Fitbod subscription. Just pick a fitness goal, select your equipment, and Fitbod will create a custom workout plan for you. Whether you've been missing the gym or hit a plateau, Fitbod will build a workout plan individualized for you. The app switches up your exercises to avoid overtraining or burnout while keeping your workouts fresh and fun. The program also changes based on your personal progress for maximized results. Whether you work out in the weight room or your living room, Fitbod has you covered. Learn the new movements the right way with over 1,400 demonstration videos. A full year of Fitbod is less than the cost of a single session with a personal trainer. There's no better time to level up your fitness habit. Try Fitbod today. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/lights. That's FITBOD.ME/lights.
What?
Thanks to Fitbod.
A Fitbod?
Yeah, where you got? We got Fitbod.
What's Fitbod?
You'll find out on when you hear the when you watch the episode and hear the ad read. Now we have the 11 seed versus the 6 seed. The 6 seed is winning a fight you didn't start. I think witnessing that, I've witnessed that a few times. It is extremely cool and masculine. Versus the 11 seed, house and yard work. Jay,
there was a long time in my life where I'd never seen a woman mow the lawn. In the past year, I've seen 3 women mow the lawn, and I've taken note every single time. Just, wow, there's a woman mowing the lawn.
Mm-hmm. Same neighborhood. Her wife's doing.
She's getting all the clippings of her Subaru Outback.
My mom has a Subaru Outback.
So sorry, what was the other one besides
winning a fight that you didn't start?
Oh, winning a fight for sure.
Mm-hmm. Again, I wanted to clarify that you didn't start part, because if you're an aggressor in a fight,
then you're an asshole.
You're an asshole.
Yeah.
If you're seeking out contact with other men, yeah. Obviously. Nick.
I mean, doing lawn work is just house beautification.
Ooh.
Missed me with that. Yeah. I fantasized about it often, just like catching a dude's fist.
That'd be so cool.
No.
Or holding a guy by his head while he's swinging. Like,
I'm not even punching back. I just grab it and I think it's time for you to go.
Promising someone they don't want to do this.
Yes.
You really don't want to do this.
How about telling him I'm legally obligated to let you know that I do jujitsu?
Yep.
That might be my move if I'm about to get invited. Like, you don't want to do this.
Yeah, this won't end well for you, because you're going to go to prison for manslaughter when I fall and hit a curb.
I'm going to give you the opportunity to walk away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, strike one. Oh, shit. Yeah, it's that. Holy shit, it's that.
Francis.
I think, I actually think that the most manly thing is breaking up fights that you have nothing to do with.
Ooh, yeah. Like that.
You know, not shying away and trying to keep peace even if it's not your battle. I think that's a pretty manly
thing. I don't know. That's okay.
I don't know. I think about the scenes where
these two guys tussling. Imagine if I was in between them.
I'm thinking like there's like a fight in a club or something. The bouncer just comes up and lifts someone off the ground and just throws them.
Being
out.
Lifted is the least masculine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can that ever get lifted off the ground?
No.
It's not allowed.
I think it'd be more manly to just be like, let the boys fight. Let them settle this themselves.
If you're able to break up two dudes that are trying to hurt each other, I think that is relatively masculine because you're stronger than two people combined.
Fair.
Especially if one person is really hurting the other.
Yeah.
And you pull that person off and don't let the other person die.
Man might say let nature run its course.
Mm. Like, you know, those fights you see, like, you know, people shoot with their phones and, like, a woman will run in there and try to break it up and she just kind of gets in the way and it kind of messes. So I almost think of that as not very masculine.
Mm. Yeah. Well, usually I'll see that and it'll be like a girl, like, trying to stop someone from beating up their husband or something.
Yeah.
I mean, also, we're saying successfully breaks the fight up.
That's true.
Yes. Yes.
But even with that said, I'm going to change it from housework to yard work.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's the key here. We used to do brush fires. We'd have to get a burn permit from the fire department on Saturdays, and it had to be sort of not a dry day. And we'd go to the fire department, we'd get some donuts, and we'd have a burn permit, and then my dad and I would lug just fallen trees and branches from the property, from the woods and stuff, and create a gigantic, gigantic burn. And then by the evening, it had all burned down into these beautiful embers and coals, and we would roast marshmallows. Those were long, hard days.
You ended that with a real whimper.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was like 8, and I was, you know, just completely ensconced in flame. I was so enamored of the gigantic. We would throw old Christmas trees out, stuff like that, get a huge flame going up. You have your hands covered in sap. You've had soot on your face.
That's a very New England experience. I've had that same experience.
It was so good.
Our
dogs would be around, and I don't know. That's what we did on Saturdays a lot of the time.
Just a flaming homo sapien.
I thought it was going another direction there.
Yeah, you'd think.
So I'm going yard work.
Yard work. Me and my dad
like
used to
edging.
Edging.
It's a very satisfying thing.
It sure is.
Yeah. You do. Edging, weed whacking, bush hogging
too, like cleaning out your gutters and shit. Like that. That doesn't.
That to me, that's more suburbia. It's more kind of houses close together. The yard work, what I knew was more like hard.
Mm. Me and my dad used to cut down our trees together because we had a woods in our backyard, and I thought I was cool sawing all the branches into pieces, and then I sawed right through into my knee cartilage. You can see the big ass
scar. Oh, yeah, you have a big ass scar.
Yeah, went right through. My dad was like, you don't need to go to the hospital, and like we just like bandaged it up, and I just left it up for a couple days.
Think of a man starting a chainsaw.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking manly.
But also, I remember like looking out, and my dad was like yelping whenever a pebble hit him from the weed whacker. Just, hey!
That hurts.
Dave just responds, real or fictional? We keep thinking of fictional people. Like, real? Why?
Naming
Kardashian.
He's
pussy alive, a fictional character. Like, he's not alive. It's fictional. So we have 2-1 in favor of winning a fight you didn't start, Tommy.
This is real hard.
That's not what your mom said. She fucking loves it.
I mean, there is something so manly, like about a dad on a dad's plans on a Saturday is just I have to do yard work. That's his whole Saturday is I'm just doing yard work, different tasks. The fight one is awesome, but it's almost so unrealistic.
Yeah,
like
no,
it's not unrealistic.
Beating someone up,
yeah,
very unrealistic.
There's an archive. There's an endless archive.
Very unrealistic. I'm almost like this to me has been more like dad or like older man, and for that, I'm going yard work.
2-for-you. We're tied up. Clemmer.
Yeah. So when I owned a home, I don't like doing yard work, and I would call. We'd call people to come do it, you know. And it always made me feel pretty like emasculate. I'm in my house, and like they're out there like working, you know, mowing the lawn or whatever.
You're offering was them this lemonade.
Your Clemmer? If you don't mind, was this your first marriage?
No.
Okay.
My first marriage, we were in New York City the whole time. The second marriage, we were in New Hampshire first. Now we're in the city. But no, it was just very, you felt like emasculated, you know, sitting there while they, you know, it's still better than doing the work myself. But so I got to go with yard work.
Yard work. We're now 3-2 in favor of yard work. KB.
You scoff at the threats. You let him hit you once, then you laugh, and then you beat the shit out of him, and that's the one.
Was that supposed to hurt?
That's the when you get disrespected by another man, what do? You fantasize for 10 to 15 minutes about how you would beat him up.
The thought of that is one of the coolest things. If you were just like, yeah, take your best shot. Yeah.
No words.
No words? You're no just like,
words. You just wipe, there's nothing time. There.
You just yeah. laugh. You let him hit you.
God damn it. We're tied up. Gooch.
Yeah, it's fighting someone. Yeah, it's just.
I'm surprised.
Beating the shit out of another man or just like.
I don't know.
The yard?
I've been.
Okay, read your home and garden. All right.
I to be honest with you, I think that fighting is like one of the most unmanly things.
Oh, come on.
I agree. I really do. I mean, I've.
But also, you voted heavily in favor of World War II, and that's all that was.
Oh, that you could reframe that as, you know, preventing the lights of perverted science, as Churchill famously put it.
I guess so.
Sickness from taking over the globe.
I guess you could. That's one way of looking at it. After that, we have the 3 seed drinking hard liquor straight. Hard liquor straight. Scotch, I think, is the one.
That means you care about calories.
That's not what I was thinking.
No.
That's not what I was thinking, really. I was just thinking like a hard old man with a...
Hard old man.
Yeah. Yuck!
Yeah. Oh, wow. Flush red face.
Saying, lemon party.
To my ministry. after that, that's going up against the number 14 seed. This is from TJ's dad. Wearing underwear that has holes in it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's great selection. KB, wearing underwear with holes in it or drinking hard liquor straight?
I think the hard liquor is the one, but there is a fine line because some of the biggest dweebs will like have a glass of whiskey or scotch, but I think the liquor is the move. It is disgusting. It's poison.
Yeah.
There's no, you need like not even ice. Like, I'm thinking just a glass of the pure
maybe
liquor.
Maybe vodka might be the most masculine thing to drink straight.
Really?
I agree with that. The Russians?
No way.
I think it is.
Where the Russians so
scotch is like a rich dweeb.
But I feel like vodka you drink fast, almost. But like the more you have to sit on something
drinking
that
straight vodka? Yeah.
Accessories ruin masculinity. Because like with whiskey, there's the stones that you get. There's always accessories. Thing. Beard guys now, you get the wax for your mustache. Accessories are the least masculine thing. I take back what I said earlier. That
accessories.
To KB's point about vodka, there's no pretense of enjoying taste. There's one reason to drink vodka, and that is to get it in
your system.
No,
it's low calorie. It's zero calorie. It's not zero, but it's...
True, yeah. I'm just thinking of the type of person who would drink that straight.
Yeah. That's not a problem for them. The calories are not a concern, I would imagine.
No.
Yeah, and even then they would do like they would do vodka soda or something. That person that did have this concern, they would drink something else with it. Clemmer.
I'm sorry, it's alcohol versus what?
It's straight alcohol versus wearing underwear with holes in it.
Yeah, it's gotta be wearing underwear with holes in it. Like, you know, the way that men just like let their like
I think that's just disgusting.
T-shirts and
yeah, that's that's masculine.
It's not just like it's not disgusting. Like it's just like it's clean. Like, no, it's not
it's
dirty.
Like a rat boy.
Ratty. Ratty is the word. Oh, it's like very ratty.
Muskrat.
It's clean.
Ew. No, it's not masculine though. Just no, the holes. I don't care if they're spotless clean. If they have holes in them, like ripped to shreds with holes.
Oh no,
it's ratty.
Now you give a wedgie to, and the whole thing just comes
the whole thing.
Over his head.
You just have a hand of. You have a waistband in your hand.
I think guys hang on to their like t-shirts and underwear like far longer than they should. That's kind of a guy thing, I think.
Was it Curb that did it?
I think it was It's Always Sunny, dude.
I think it was Curb Your Enthusiasm.
There was a scene
the doctor.
It's Curb. It was Curb because it was Josh Gad.
Oh, yeah.
The dentist.
That's it. That's
he had these ratty old underwear.
Yeah, but wasn't there a scene, too, in It's Always Sunny where someone gives Charlie a wedgie and they just pull it and it all
like
comes out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. So you're going to go with...
Yeah.
The underwear with holes.
Stand by,
Tommy.
I think it's the drinks. It's so foreign to me. I just pulled this up the other night. Me and KB got drinks.
I got the Kiss Kiss Bang Bang,
and I got the Kinky Boots, and we were two.
We had to order it at once.
It sounds like you're ordering at a Cold Stone Creamery. Yeah. I'll take the cookie. Don't you want some? and I gotta have.
Yeah, gotta
it.
Have.
Mine was pink with a flower in it.
In here, I'm dropping a blackberry. Some change in the tip jar.
Sing for me.
yeah, I really did not feel manly, and nothing makes me feel that. But I mean, I'll get a Malibu Bay Breeze, hell. But I mean, yeah, it is undeniably to have the whiskey with just a huge fucking square cube in it. Yeah, that's gross. To me, the underwear thing is gross.
Tommy getting two Malibu Bay Breezes. Here you go, babe. by the way, Gooch just sent in our chat. Or no, Che, you did. Sorry. Zaz underwear, which I completely forgot about.
Oh, that was
Zaz.
Oh,
yeah. Ratty pants.
My God.
Oh, that's ratty. Oh, my God.
Like, I don't know how they turned
that. I don't know what color
either.
Those started as.
ratty. Holy shit. Oh, and White Sox Dave answered, and he said that he thinks the biggest pussy live is John Cusack, which it lines up with him, but I feel like for a very long time it was Justin Bieber.
That was no help.
Yeah. Okay, so...
an hour and a half to say John Cusack.
Sick Dave.
We're 3-2 in favor of the hard liquor straight.
And it's... remind me of the other...
the ratty underwear.
Okay. I think... Again, it's sort of like what did I say earlier? There was one that where there's no pretense. I don't know. I can't remember which what other thing we were talking about. But to choose liquor because that is actually what you like to drink, and that's the way you drink it. Neat, one ice cube, whatever. Not because you're putting on airs or because someone made you do a shot. But that's like, you know, you're alone, no one's around, you're at a bar, what do you have? I'd like a scotch, neat.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus Christ, how did you get there? How did you beat your taste buds into submission to that degree? Every time I've ever had scotch, I grimace. It's so hard not to grimace.
Yeah.
Tequila, same thing. So... for me, I would say liquor. To be at ease and actually enjoying that as a drink is manly.
3-2 in favor of the hard liquor straight. Nick?
Just blatantly disregarding comfort in the underwear. It's like ratty a sock with your entire big toe out. You're just like, you're so masculine, you don't give a fuck about comfort.
Yeah.
It's the easiest thing. why wear those?
It's like leather.
Just, I don't give a fuck, yeah.
That's the thing, like, it's not like it's some massive price barrier to get a new pair of underwear. Oh,
no,
it's like
no.
So cheap to get a big pack of underwear.
He's like, right. He scraped his groin on that.
Yeah. He got a splinter from his underwear. That is so. That's so masculine. Just I don't give a
fuck. I guess it is. Yeah.
Jay,
you're only wearing underwear because you think you have to. It's not for any other reason.
I think it's like an attachment. Attachment to the underwear.
No, I think it's just a blatant refusal to change and
just
to progress and invent. Yes, it's very hard-headed. Jerry Seinfeld has a joke that says there is no vintage underwear because men wear underwear until it absolutely disintegrates.
Yeah.
And it's true. I had a pair of underwear from fourth grade. It was a white pair of Peanuts Snoopy underwear that I wore until post college. It had numerous holes in it, very similar to Zaz, and it was just because that's my underwear. That's what I do. I'm not going out and clothes shopping because that's fruity.
It's the easiest. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very easy to replace, but you refuse to just because you're not going to make that trip to go shopping. And if you do, you're definitely not trying shit on.
I like the reasoning.
Try on underwear.
No.
I don't try on anything in stores.
Don't try on anything.
Oh, I always do. So, just want to be sure.
Case closed.
KB, I'll give you the shot. Do you want to switch your vote? If not, it's a Gooch tiebreaker.
No, I'll give it to Gooch.
Gooch?
Yeah, I got to go. I got to go underwear. Got to go underwear.
Gooch has broken against me on every single tiebreak so far.
There's a reason for that.
Whoa.
Wow.
Hey, fuck you, man.
Two strong chins going at it.
Very strong chins. Number 7 seed, carrying all the groceries in at once.
Mm-hmm.
And I included on top of that, carrying a lot of chairs at once.
It's churchy.
That's mousy.
You think it's mousy?
It's like a mouse, the mousy church boy.
Yeah.
Carrying all the chairs.
Mm.
Yeah, it was like he was trying to impress the church girl.
Well, that's masculine, though, trying to impress the girl.
Can we maybe amend that?
Trying to impress, not impressing.
Okay.
Carrying all the groceries, because like going to a grocery store and not getting a cart, even though you're getting like
just holding it all like in your hands.
Yes. Think of like the most masculine guys you know, like the blue collar rednecks. They just end up with girlfriends. They don't flirt.
No, they just get them. Yeah.
They just have one.
They just,
one day.
They're given one.
You will never. You've never seen them flirt.
I've never seen a fledgling blue collar relationship.
Never seen him chase a girl.
He's been dating this girl for seven years, eight years.
Just end up with one.
They can be the most horrible, abusive man in town.
Horrible people.
Somehow. Some girl has ended up with that guy.
Zero redeeming features. Yeah. Just, yeah.
Becky Sue the nurse.
They always have girlfriends.
Girlfriends are always nurses, too. I don't know why. I feel like that is...
No, beauticians.
Beauticians a lot, too. That's a good point. So that is going up against the number 10 seed. Grilling / running the grill. I think the guy that runs the grill. Running the grill is a big...
I'm ready to get this guy out of here.
Yeah.
To be honest, I know the type. He ain't masculine.
We had this.
We talked about it.
Was it like guys you want around or was some bracket? Like,
yeah,
that's dudes. Yeah,
yeah. And was it a grill guy on there? Thing.
It was like the guy that brings the grill
coolest
to the tailgate.
Coolest
the guy that grills at the tailgate.
Yeah, tailgate. Okay, tailgate chef. I guess. Yeah,
but he's still not a masculine guy. You want him around to use him.
I was thinking more like just the person that runs the grill.
I think that's pretty manly. I think running the grill is pretty manly.
Yeah.
So it's grill versus what?
It's grill versus carrying in all the groceries at once.
I'll go carrying in all the groceries. I typically will have 3 to 4 bags, and I will do everything in my power to not make another trip, even if I know it could result, potentially even likely, in injury.
Mm. Or bag tear.
Yep.
Spill.
Yep. And then also in the grocery store, if I'm ever by myself or just picking up a few things, I'll end up with more than I planned, but I will never get a cart.
I get a basket, which is the worst, because I don't know how to hold it.
And the rolly one is even worse.
Oh, yeah. The rolly basket.
You get basket regret, too, like halfway through. You have way too much stuff in the basket, and you're like, oh, what have I done?
Yeah. So you're going with the carrying the groceries. Yep. Nick?
I'm anti-grill guy. Anything that you have to wear an apron for, and again, accessories.
I've never seen a grill guy wear an apron.
You don't have to wear the apron.
Yeah. They'll always try to get a funny one that's like the lower half of the Statue of David or some shit.
It's the chef.
Yeah, that too, yeah. But... There's risk for being feminine when carrying in the groceries if you have to do the car door shut with the hip.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say if you're a man, why are you grocery shopping?
You're not. Your wife gets home.
Your wife got them, and then you go out and get them. Yeah.
I'm going to go groceries because even if it's not heavy, you feel strong.
Yeah.
And it's not really heavy. It's just kind of inconvenient. Just load up the arms. Hmm. Yep. Yeah, I'm going to go groceries.
Groceries, Francis?
This is a good one. I like the culture of smoking. I don't do it myself. I've tried. It's too hard. But the guys that are masters of it, I think that is a very fine, precise art that I do admire. I don't like the guy who stands at the grill and holds court and won't let anybody else touch. You know, it's like someone who insists on having the power over the music at a party. But I do think that the grill guy is more masculine than the guy who carries like six, just wants to do it all in one trip. I'd rather bear the discomfort now than come back and do two trips.
I'm changing mine because I think a lot of the one trip is rooted in laziness more than feat of strength.
A good point.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think if you're really good at grilling and you care about it, that's not manly. I'm imagining you're an average to below average griller, and you just throw the burgers on the grill and you blacken them and you cook them pretty poorly, and you don't, you know, take suggestions on like I want it this way. You say no, I'm gonna give it, and you don't care. You're not grilling to impress people. You're not one of these guys with an Instagram account.
You're just making the food.
Yeah, you're just making
the food.
You're just like,
you're
I'm
not grilling,
and I'm just putting this food on here, and you're gonna eat whatever I make. That to me is the most manly type of griller you could be, and that's what I'm gonna vote for.
All right, the griller.
Yeah, like Tony Soprano would never let Carmella touch the grill. Like, that's a right. Like, Tony Soprano to me is like the ultimate, like, the most masculine probably character in television. And
he's going to therapy.
That was the whole exposition. Yeah. That's the whole thing.
I've never seen it.
It's the greatest artwork ever done.
I've only seen a few episodes.
It's all about how regular a dude he is.
It's better than any movie, better than any TV show. It's amazing. Anyway, I would go with grilling. Grilling to me is, like you said, not the guy with the Instagram, but the average Joe out there grilling. That's a guy's thing to do, I think.
Mm. So three for grilling.
Grilling over groceries.
Grilling over groceries. All right, now we have our last matchup, number 2 versus 15. We have their second chain game, which should be interesting. We can do the chain first. Number 1 option is knowing your way around a hardware store without having to ask anybody. Opening a beer without a bottle opener.
Mm.
There's limits to that, I think, too. There's certain qualifications to it. Being generally gross. the cowboy collar in football. Very.
Oh.
You put rope.
Yeah, rope's masculine as fuck.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And then hating your wife or women in general.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
God. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing more manly than that.
So, KB, you go first.
So okay. Bad.
I'll give the options for the most masculine things.
I heard them, and I think it's straight apathy towards your wife.
Not even
giving it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the most manly. Like, you're not getting worked up over her, not on edge. You just don't even think about her.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She doesn't even cross your mind. You've never been stressed about her.
I'm swapping it to that right.
Wife apathy, dude. Yeah.
Wife apathy.
That's so funny.
So, you don't argue. She yells at you, and you just sit there with your hand.
Yeah. Like, kind of like laugh. Like, yeah.
The woman in my house is yelling again.
But you don't even acknowledge that.
You don't even hear it.
You don't even hear it. Instantly forget what she said.
It's just not. You're at peace. Somehow you're at peace.
Yeah. The game is on. Great relationship. No turmoil.
Clever.
Yeah, that like isn't that like spousal apathy? Though couldn't the wife just ignore you?
No.
You know, she's obsessed with you. Driver, you're the death of her. They're more than infatuated.
What are the options again?
Knowing your way around a hardware store, opening a beer without a bottle opener, being generally gross, the cowboy collar, rope, and apathy towards your wife.
Rope's good, too.
Rope is really good. I think I'm going to go with rope. Rope is...
It's so rough.
Yeah. And like anytime I see a rope, I do want to like grab it. Like it is, but I can't imagine like a woman wants to do that with rope. I don't know.
Oh, no, women want to grab
imagine
rope.
That.
No,
no.
I don't think so.
Oh, you no.
But I think like rope even like smells. They ever smell of rope?
It's oh yeah,
the smell of rope is great.
Yeah, rope is very very masculine.
The only thing that's holding me up on rope is that it also resembles like a ponytail, the braid. Some ropes like, and that is a little bit.
And jump rope is kind of.
Yeah, jump rope.
It stretches. Both of those. Don't matter.
Stretches.
You're overthinking it.
It's funny. Rope. It is the most straightforward invention of all time.
Mm-hmm. I'm going apathy towards the wife. I'm thinking of a classic sitcom dad. And, you know, like KB said, it's not a fight. It's just...
Classic sitcom dads hated their wives.
Yeah, I'm not thinking of sitcom, dude.
It's pure apathy. She's never once affected you.
Yeah, I mean, that's manly as fuck. Being incapable of being affected by a woman is as manly as it gets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, damn, that's true. Okay, Francis.
I actually like rope a lot. I don't know. I think there are some incredibly manly things you can do with a rope. So I'll go with rope. I like rope.
Mm-hmm. Rope also means come.
Two married guys have voted against that one.
But what was your definition? Being unable, what is it? Being unaffected by a woman is the definition of masculine? Is that what you say?
We're just saying shit. We're not going to believe that.
Nobody's trying to define masculinity.
Isn't that also like the definition of being like a gay guy?
No.
No.
I don't care about women for opinion.
Where are you getting your definitions from?
Yeah.
Get a new dictionary, fool.
My dictionary's old.
I think that just being completely apathetic to your wife isn't so much it's just sad.
That's how I
am. No, you're not sad.
No, the situation from afar is
sad.
You have a great kind life.
Yeah. So I didn't want to vote for that.
Yeah.
Nick.
Run through really quick. I'm sorry.
Knowing your way around a hardware store, opening a beer without a bottle opener, being generally gross, the cowboy collar, rope, and apathy towards your wife.
I love it when I see a good slob. Remember that slob we saw in Lawrence, Kansas?
Yeah.
biggest slob I've ever seen.
From a mile away.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Rope is a slippery slope because soon you'll be lassoing.
Yes.
And that...
Cowboys do that.
Whoop. Yeah.
Yeah.
And have loose wrists. No. It's apathy towards the wife.
Apathy towards the
wife. She's screaming at the top of her lungs. Yeah. You don't hear it.
Yeah. You scream because your team just missed a layup.
Yeah. That has more effect on you than anything your wife could say to you. Jay.
Cowboy collar.
Yeah.
Talking some of the greats. Mike Allstott. Brian Cox. You don't see it as much nowadays.
Cox. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Sean Lee.
Sean Lee, yeah.
He always got hurt.
Enderesh wears it too, I think.
Yeah. Brian Cox.
I don't know if it's that. I feel like it's like, oh, you don't want to get hurt? But that's not
Oh, it looks
manly.
Tough.
No, but every guy that wears it is tough as fuck. Yeah. Like, that's a crazy. That's a, another thing that maybe could have been added is people complaining about the rules in football making you too much of a pussy. Or like the pussification
yeah, that's masculine.
Of football. Yeah. That's, it's annoying, but it is up there. So. The winner is going to be apathy towards your wife, and it's going up against the number two seed, another juggernaut. Not caring about your hygiene, health, or appearance at all.
Yeah.
Shay.
You only go to a doctor because it's like demand. You get demanded.
Like you're, yeah, exactly.
Just not pushing your own hernia back in.
No, yeah. Oh, no regular appointments. You do not know the meaning of the word checkup.
Right.
Okay. I feel like that's another one that's like built out of the pure laziness, stubbornness to adapt with change. So, yeah, I feel like that.
Mm-hmm. Nick.
Some of the most vile, just some of the most vile, disgusting fellas are just so manly. They just they don't care what they wear. It's hilarious.
Stains on their shirts.
But those are the same guy, like those are the same guys that like argue with their girlfriends in public. Give me the apathy.
The apathy. Mm-hmm. Not caring in general. These are two options where it's basically not caring.
Like, dude, if you're ever out with like one of your buddies and like his girlfriend's mad over something, and then you're like, hey man, like, do you need to go figure that out? And he'll just be like, nah, she'll be fine.
Oh,
it's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh man!
Yeah. Oh no, yes.
She's just getting it out.
Yeah, she'll be fine. Let her get it all out.
These are horrible people.
I know. Yeah.
Awful humans.
Such horrible people.
Francis. It's something he did. It's all his fault.
Yeah.
I thought I was cheating on her.
one time I was at a buddy's house for dinner, and it was you know, the guy's mom was there, and then it was the dad was hyper masculine, and then it was me and like three of our buddies. And we ate this big, big dinner that the mom had prepared. And then I got up to start clearing the table. And the dad goes, what are you doing? No, no, no. Don't do that. She loves doing it.
Oh, yeah. I've heard this before.
I have heard that, too.
She loves
it. She loves doing the dishes.
Is there a sense she loves doing it.
Oh.
It's like, dude, no, she doesn't.
No,
you know,
yeah.
Nobody loves doing the dishes. I don't know. With that said, I think for me, it's crazy how I find myself with some of these. I never thought this would happen, but for example, the not going to the doctor, right? I find I've been having heart pain lately. I've been just very strange out of nowhere. My heart hurts quite a lot.
This is the boy who cried wolf at this point.
That's anxiety, though.
It's probably anxiety. I don't know. I don't know. And I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm just not. I don't want to go see a specialist. I don't want to deal with it. I'm just going to give it time. And I don't know what other than the brain should give me more cause for concern than the heart. And if that's not enough to send me to the doctor, then it's got to be gaping wound, bone showing, just, you know.
It's fear of finding out what it is. My side has hurt for 3 years.
Mm. It's also laziness, too.
Yeah. This makes me want to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Like, right now, I could have a heart or a side issue right now.
But even Ken Jack told that story about how his knee got split open. His dad's like, nope, just, you know, we're not going to the doctor for that.
Like, yeah, but they fixed it.
We fixed it, technically.
I think there's something to be said about, like, I'm just going to let... It's in God's hands.
Right.
It's in God's... My health is in God's hands. Maybe I won't eat the fucking Sunday tonight. Mm-hmm. I think that not going to the doctor is a very masculine thing.
Mm-hmm. I shattered this pinky at soccer once, and I just never fixed it. Now it's just permanently bent.
And when you do go to the doctor, you flirt with the nurse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was
always got the
broken really badly, the pinky.
Yep. And it's like, it'll sort itself out.
Yeah.
Nope. Okay. Tommy.
Apathy.
Apathy towards your wife. Just trying to think of it in your situation. I need to put more thought into it. Clever.
I mean, men live a much shorter life than women do because we don't go to the doctor. There's nothing.
Like much shorter. It's like a few years.
It's a few years, but it's consistently a few. That's a lot. That's
if you account the deadly professions and things.
Sure, you can see military, also men are more likely to commit suicide. There's accidents. All sorts of reasons, but the main reason they say is because we don't go to the doctor. We don't take care of ourselves. So I think there's nothing more masculine than that, not taking care of ourselves.
Gibby.
Yeah, having a wife take care of everything that you need around the house and then not forgetting about it. Not knowing she does.
Not being grateful.
Not even knowing.
No gratitude.
Have no idea what she does for you on a day. Which is a lot.
Just thinking it's an even playing field simply because you bring home money.
Yeah.
Like she's a Roomba just like operating herself around the house.
Mm-hmm. No, because even the Roomba you would know because you turn it on and off or whatever. It's just like clue what she does. Okay, so we're tied up again. Gooch.
Jesus Christ. Francis, what did you vote?
I said not going to the doctor.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. Not going to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been a sitcom where the guy just
doesn't
speak to his wife?
Yeah. Zero dialogue between the husband.
Like Legolas and Frodo.
Dude, yes. Did you guys hear the Nate Bargatze bit about watching The Sixth Sense where, you know, Bruce Willis is talking to his wife the whole movie. She's never responding, and at the end, you find out... Do you guys know the movie?
I don't think you're going to spoil The Sixth.
You find out that she's dead the whole time.
He's dead.
He's like, we found it more believable that... Nobody saw that coming. It was just more believable that this was a shitty marriage. The wife wouldn't talk to the guy for the entire fucking movie.
That was a reverse situation of it, too, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Factor. This spring... You need nutritious, convenient meals to energize you for warmer, active days and to keep you on track for reaching your goals. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fill up fast and so you can get with the ready-to-eat meals delivered directly to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and tackle everything on your to-do list. If you're too busy to cook this spring, with Factor, you can skip that trip to the grocery store and skip the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up, too. They offer delicious, flavor-packed options with a menu every single week with a variety of lifestyles, whether you're keto, if you're calorie smart, if you're vegan, you want vegetarian options, or protein plus. They got everything covered. Prepared by chefs and approved by dietitians, each meal has all of the ingredients you need to feel satisfied with all day long while meeting your goals. With 34 plus chef-prepared, dietitian-approved weekly options, there's always something new to try. You want to cut back on takeout? Do Factor instead. It's not only cheaper than takeout, but the meals are ready faster than restaurant delivery in just under 2 minutes. They've given us Factor the last few weeks. It's absolutely awesome. The meals, like we've done other meal plans before, sometimes you either have to prep it a little bit or do something. Legit, all you do is poke holes in it, put it in the microwave for 2 minutes, and it tastes like a meal was just made, like fresh-made meal. It's absolutely awesome. They give you smoothies, too. Really, really cool. And I've done now two different options. I did the keto option and the calorie smart option. Both meal sets were absolutely incredible. Head to factormeals.com/LCB50 and use code LCB50 to get 50% off your first box. That's code LCB50 at factormeals.com/LCB50 to get 50% off your first box. It's worth it. And I'm telling you, you got to try it. Okay, so now we can run through our playoffs quick.
I hope somebody gets mad at you for spoiling The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Smoking cigars versus grunting when you sit down. KB.
The grunt, the natural grunt.
Mm-hmm. What's your grunt sound like?
I don't do it.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard you grunt before.
Don't ever ask another man what
grunt sound.
No, it'd be funny, Kyle. You do it first. Let me hear it.
me hear it, I'll record it and sound. Clemmer.
Cigar. The cigar room is the manliest place ever.
Mm-hmm. Cigar.
Yeah.
Although sometimes cigar, they wear robes when they smoke, and that's not particularly, like, you know, like
right,
smoking, smoking jacket.
Smoking jacket?
Is Hugh Hefner, that's sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right robe can be very masculine.
Yeah, that's fair. Tommy?
Yeah, cigar. I mean, grunting to me is almost more of an old, like, my grandma grunts when she lets out a noise when she
what sees you?
What color is her outback?
That's fucking disgusting.
Yeah, that's me comes more from age than being a man. I'm going, my girlfriend's not smoking fucking cigars, I'll tell you that much. I'll go
get a grunting granny.
Is it only when you come over, or is it all the time?
She comes in from mowing the lawn. She's like,
grunting granny.
Brings the groceries in.
Francis.
Grunting versus
smoking cigars.
Cigars.
Cigars, Nick?
Yeah, cigars.
Cigars, Che.
Ugh.
Second time. Smoking's moving on. Che, World War II. Interesting. Oh, again, just in general.
Why don't you grunt for me? You never grunt for me.
Che, or give us another grunt, Che.
I can't.
World War II versus having good facial hair.
World War II.
World War II?
Yeah.
World War II?
War.
War?
War.
War?
Yeah. War.
Yeah, it's World War II is tough to beat. World War II now.
There's another thing about that, by the way. That was before anyone had started actually talking about PTSD. Yes. And it was an entire generation of young men who were forced to just stuff their feelings into their boots.
Mm-hmm. Come home and live in houses that look all identical next to each other. Just
deal with it.
While having horrible nightmares
in
their lives.
Yeah.
World War II versus smoking.
Cigars.
Right? Yeah, smoking cigars.
World War II by far.
World War II by far.
Yeah, World War II.
World War II.
Yeah, it's close. I mean, I'm just imagining old men smoking cigars talking about World War II. That's what I think is important. Like being obsessed with World War II, but never once considering doing anything.
Oh, I always forget. This is an obsession with World War.
Yeah, II. Yeah, yeah.
Cigars.
Cigars. Okay, switch.
It could be.
Well, that is what it is, right?
I'm not thinking like the literal act of just fighting in World War II.
I'm imagining like you're a dad who like is watching a bunch
naturally
of World
become
War II
obsessed.
Dad. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Watching hobby wise, I think cigar with a slight edge.
Slight edge. Okay.
I was just saying, watching the 800th documentary on World War II. That's a guy thing.
Yeah, I'm
watching World War II in color, like for the fifth time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I've never met a woman buff.
Woman World War II history buff.
Yeah. Can women be buffs?
China.
That's Tommy's grandma.
She loves World War II.
What do you all think? What do you think has a higher female audience, Barstool or the History Channel?
History Channel has like Barstool.
They love aliens.
Yeah, they have like aliens.
Yeah,
and they have like pawn shop.
We have chicken fry.
And...
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a great point. So, Tommy, you're going to stick with smoking or World War II?
World War II.
World War II, Francis.
I think it's World War II. I think you can get guys who smoke cigars who are just posers.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I really do.
Nick?
Yeah, very, very close.
I mean, who here is obsessed with World War II, likes World War II a lot?
I like it a lot.
I know a lot of it.
I'm going the other one.
Based on this,
I guess that makes sense.
Francis, we're saying it's masculine as hell to be obsessed with World War II, and you guys all love it.
I don't like it. I'm not masculine, so that would be points for it.
I'm not very masculine. I do like it, so I'm not going to negate Tommy.
Who's the most masculine person at Barstool?
White Sox Dave.
Oh, God, yes.
I was going to say, Big Cat's pretty masculine.
White Sox Dave beats him.
Yeah, White Sox Dave wins.
Yeah, I think
tweets too much.
True.
Maybe Playboy Marty.
Oh, yeah.
Playboy Marty's definitely up there. Nick, World War II.
Yeah.
The war.
With the war.
Well done, Che.
World War II going into the finals on the other side. underwear with holes in it versus winning a fight.
Underwear with holes in it.
Yes. This is my favorite. It's just like, fuck it. I might as well put these on. Yeah, I guess today's uncomfy day. Those are made of papyrus. It has to feel like a corn leash.
They look like they're worn by someone who works in a river. In the river.
Mining for gold in 1800.
I don't know.
That has no practicality whatsoever.
Fishing.
Doing it for
hand.
The waistband.
Five leg holes to choose from. It's incredible. The underwear, Nick?
Yes.
It's the underwear, and it's the idea of, you know, they're still good as long as my entire testicles don't burst through one of the holes.
It's just like, I'll be uncomfortable for the day. Instead of spending $14.
Well, I think another reason it's mainly is it stems from the idea of I'm not going shopping.
Yeah.
A woman-like thing to do.
It's that, and it's also a confidence that you're not likely to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
Well, girls don't like that.
There's no chance a woman's going to see this. I don't give a shit.
Tommy?
Yeah, undies.
Undies?
Yeah, underwear.
Underwear, KB?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Underwear, moving on. On the other side, not caring about your hygiene, health, or appearance versus the girl guy. I feel like this is just a wash. But, KB?
Yeah.
For what? I'm not sure where I'm going to go.
Not grilling.
The hygiene, which is kind of like an autistic thing almost, which is also masculine.
Yeah.
Autism is masculine?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, look at, are you Rain following Man? World of T-shirts and his arch nemesis, Daniel Larson?
Yeah.
They walk around Manhattan and just wreak havoc.
They're menace?
They walk like 20 miles a day.
I'm on the Daniel Larson.
Someone tracked his path.
Yeah.
Went through Manhattan, the Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn, all in one day.
I'm on the Daniel Larson.
Screaming.
Subreddit. It's a wild place. Kiss Clemmer.
What is it? I'm sorry.
It's not caring about your health, your hygiene, health, and yeah.
With the grilling, yeah, I'm gonna go with not caring about not going to the doctor.
Yep,
I'm sticking with the grilling. Just throwing black hockey pucks on the grill and making everyone eat it despite their requests. It's pretty goddamn manly to me,
Francis.
I wish I could have added this. I actually think men who are like incredible chefs is pretty manly, especially if they have really good knife skills.
Oh yeah,
knife skills are
watching
cool,
them dice up a green onion like perfect width at every time. That's cool. Yeah. That's pretty manly. But with that said, I still think it's the hygiene thing,
just
letting yourself go.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like
if you have bad hygiene, if you just give it up, you just know like there is no chance of a partner. You are just man.
Or that you have a partner and you don't give a shit.
Don't give a fuck.
That is the apathy right there. Yeah.
It's the hygiene of the grill. It's just like you hand somebody one, then you watch them. You're just like, take a
break. I feel like single guys are more about their appearance than like long-term married guys do.
There's some single guys that have thrown in the towel.
Oh, I'm sure.
Hygiene.
Okay, hygiene. So that's going to be hygiene versus the holes in the underwear. Jay.
Holes in the underwear.
By a mile.
Yes.
This almost got bounced in the first round, and it is my favorite. It's so funny.
It's really good.
Because you're the only one that knows, too.
It's the equivalent of wearing like a belt. There's nothing else that's doing anything.
It's funny because now I know TJ's dad does this too.
Oh yeah, like wearing a skirt under your pants. Yeah.
So you're going with the underwear.
Yes,
underwear.
You're the only person so funny, dude.
It's pure lip service to the idea of underwear.
To underwear, Francis.
It's like fastening your seatbelt before you sit down in the seat, and then sitting over it just so the alarm doesn't go.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah. Well, did you see Zaz's response to that tweet? I just saw it.
Well, you gotta pull it up. I didn't even see. I can't wait to see what he said.
It was the most masculine response.
I'm looking for it. Which one is it?
It's the first one. The guy asked him a question. Oh shit!
The guy is Stephen Chu.
No. No, the one right there is go up.
Let's go up.
No, Zaz.
That was pretty manly.
Zaz's response above.
Wait.
Just retired from service, still have them. He went to the person.
Holy shit.
So he still has them.
Uh-huh. Just retired from service.
This would have been great if the CK underwear, like vice president of sales, offering him free underwear, he's like, eh.
If he said no to that, that would have been
also
very
one pair.
Yeah,
it'll last a long time. Obviously,
he's not.
Okay, so underwear.
I'll go with underwear. What was it up against?
The not caring about your hygiene, health.
I think it's underwear for sure.
Underwear.
It's also the same guy who, if he found out like a guy was like going commando, but what kind of Fruit Loop?
You're like four threads away from.
Yeah, that. As if he's got the most sturdy pair on. So yeah, undie man.
Yeah, I'm good with underwear.
Yeah, underwear. Sweeping right through. Underwear versus World War II. KB.
The underwear.
Oh, really? That quickly? Yeah. All right, one for underwear.
I'm gonna go with World War II.
Mm-hmm.
I think that almost defines manliness in a way. Mm-hmm.
Tommy?
I'll go the underwear. Why not?
Underwear.
I this one's challenging. I think if we redefine and make sure we define the World War II one as men who just become fans of it. I don't know. I think that you get there. Just, there aren't women walking around with holes in their thongs, and there are female history buffs with focus on World War II. So I will go with underwear on this one.
3-1 in favor of underwear.
The only person you're hurting is yourself when you wear these ratty underwear, these ratty, uncomfy underwear. You could wear new underwear and nobody would know. This is a purely internal struggle, and you're still choosing to do it. It's the winner.
Underwear. It's underwear. Ugh, that's a good bracket. Episode 72 winner is walking around with holes in her underwear like Zah. Thanks. Shout out to Mr. Hitchens for the suggestion. We'll be back next week with a new topic. We actually have some cool ideas for the new topics coming up.
Kyle, you got to give KB some credit being manly. No woman would walk out of here and just leave the door open.
Yeah. That's pretty bad. Not giving
a shit.
Apathy towards work.
For us, yes.
Doesn't say bye.
Right.
Didn't say bye to anyone. Just, I gotta go.
I gotta get out of here.
Grunt to say goodbye to my grandma.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Dedication isn't born in the light of day. It's carved in the quiet hours before the world blinks awake. At Boar's Head, we rise with a mission. To deliver craftsmanship worthy of your table. A slice of something special folded into every moment worth savoring. Because dedication means delivering only the very best. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
Look, if you're a bigger guy like us, have you ever bought a shirt that technically fits, but it doesn't, like, actually fit? That's why this is my favorite brand of all f***ing time. One Bone. I'm in love with everything that I put on today. In fact, I would say I've never loved a brand more than One Bone. Trust me, you guys are going to romanticize getting dressed in the morning. That's what One Bone does. Go to onebone.com and upgrade to a fit that is actually built for you. Use code BARSTOOL for 20% off to see the difference firsthand. After one wear, you'll understand why standard fits don't make the cut.